Thankful for that song. It's just as simple. Salvation is just as simple as whether you'd like to give your life to Christ or not. He's done everything else. Everything is in His power. And simply the question that He asked that man at the pool of Bethsaida was, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Are you willing to let Christ make you whole? And I do hope that you are willing tonight. I tell you what, would you go ahead and turn with us in your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts and chapter number 27. Book of Acts and chapter number 27. While you're turning there, please do remember some of the requests from this morning that have been made known. As far as announcements, I want you to remember the poinsettias that have been purchased all around me. It looks like a beautiful garden here, and I've heard that comment several times. I think so as well. It's time for you to pick these up now, for those of you that have purchased this, and to bring these home with you and have them as a beautiful display in your home. So get with Sister Kelly if you need to come by here at different times, and she can hopefully help you with that. And if not, we hope to be starting back in-person services very soon, Lord willing, if nobody else has been exposed or has been tested positive for COVID. We would like for you to continue to pray for the member of the church that's been affected by COVID. Once again, I'm not going to say any names over the internet just for the privacy's sake, but I will tell you that we talked to him this morning, and he is doing okay, has more mild symptoms, slight nausea, a sore throat, and some body aches, and he said he's doing okay, but he does appreciate all the church's prayers, and he is glad to hear that no one else at the moment has gotten that from him or contracted that. And so that's what we're praying for continually, and I hope that you'll be praying for him and his family, that it would stay with him and not spread within the family. That's also a thing to pray about as well. All right, pray for that member, continue to pray for the lads, pray for Brother Jake and Sister Laura's family, the McMillan family, and the passing of their loved one. Let's continue to pray for Sister Frances Ladd. And continue to pray for Gay Hunter, Sister Gay Hunter, that God would touch her and help her as she's in the hospital right now fighting with COVID, all right? At this point, let's pray. I'll go ahead and pray before we read tonight, and then we'll look into the Word of God. Acts chapter number 27. Let's pray, and then we'll read tonight. Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to come before you in prayer. God, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for those that are listening, tuning in. Lord, I pray that you would help them and encourage them tonight, Lord, to keep going, Lord, to keep pressing on. God, bless this church. Lord, help us, God, and give us good success for our efforts. Lord, help us to bring forth fruit that is pleasing to you. Lord, the fruit that you expect, the fruit that you want to see from us. Lord, we'll give you the praise for everything that you've done. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter number 27. We're going to look in Acts chapter number 27 tonight. I want to begin reading there in verse number 1. We're going to get into the context here in just a few minutes of what all is going on here. But for right now, you need to know that the main character in this chapter, the main individual, I should say, is a man by the name of Paul. Paul here has been taken into custody by Rome. He's been taken a prisoner, and he is now being transported unto Rome, where there he must answer to Caesar. That was the reason for his imprisonment, but the real reason for his imprisonment, God's reason, was so that he could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, even there at Rome, the capital of the world. So let's look at Acts 27, verse 1. He says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, notice this, because the winds were contrary. In other words, the winds were against us. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed, what's that word? Slowly, many days. And scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. We sailed under Crete, over against Salmon, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. I want to preach on this thought tonight, sailing slowly many days. I want you to notice tonight all of the phrases that are used in the negative sense in these 10 verses. Notice, he says the winds were contrary. He said we sailed slowly many days. He said the wind not suffering us, not allowing us. He used these words, hardly passing it. You know what that means? Barely getting by. He said much time was spent, and then he said sailing was now dangerous. Then he said the voyage will be with hurt and much damage. My question is, after reading all of these phrases here, are you feeling encouraged tonight? Probably not so, because there's really not a whole lot in this passage here in these verses that is encouraging. There's not a lot of positives. There is a lot of negatives. There's a lot of slowing down in speed, a lot of contrary things, a lot of barely getting by, a lot of hurt and damage. Just to be honest with you, this was a negative season here, a season of sailing slowly many days. Friend, I actually love this passage because of what comes before it and what comes after it. But this passage of Scripture has actually meant more and more to me this year than ever before in my life. There is probably not a soul that is listening to this message today that this passage does not hit home with today. I believe that if the year of 2020 could be described in any passage of the Bible, it would probably be Acts chapter number 27, verse 1 through verse 10. That is seemingly all that we've heard this year. Now, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy. But friend, if we're truthful, seems like this year has been negative, negative, negative news. Bad, bad, bad. People are barely getting by. There is much hurt and much damage. And more than all that, there has simply been slow sailing for many days. There are days among us even now like this. Just to be honest, right now I am preaching to you through a camera screen. And to be honest, I feel like we are sailing slowly today. I do. To me, this is sailing slowly. Not sailing smoothly, sailing slowly. Seems like we can't seem physically, outwardly, to get traction, to get moving. We keep saying, well, when this passes, then we'll get everything going. When this passes, but right now, we're sailing slowly. Friends, some of you may like this church at home stuff, but I don't. Friend, and if you really do like this stuff at home, then let me tell you that I am concerned for you. Friend, we need to be in the house of God if we're able, when we're able, when we can, but friend, when we cannot. This is a season of slow, rough sailing. I want you to understand this. I don't know about you, but that frustrates me. I don't like slowing down in my life. You probably relate to this very much. You probably live a high-paced life. Almost everybody does in our culture today, and we despise slowing down. I believe Paul was one of those people. I believe Paul could not sit down for a day. He could not sit still. He was always doing something and going somewhere and working on something. He didn't like the slow sailing. But friend, there came a season in his life where he had to sail slowly. And whether you like it or not, there comes a time in every Christian's life when we experience some slow sailing. Every Christian's voyage has it. Every pilgrim's progress has it. This is especially hard in our high speed, instant gratification, give it to me now culture that we live in. And I believe Christians have become that way in many senses. Spiritually, we love to serve God when there is excitement and hustle and bustle and a lot of things to do and a lot of things going on. But when God tells us to wait, or when God seems to slow things down, we realize we have a lot of wet weather Christians. You know what a wet weather creek is, right? Hey, when it's raining and pouring, that water is rushing and bubbling down that creek. But friend, when the weather dries up, so does the creek. We got a lot of Christians like that. We tend to be that way in times of slow sailing. You know, we're doing this right now, trying to slow down the spread of a virus, but inevitably, we tend to slow down everything else at the same time. That is a part of it. Friend, you cannot slow God down, but God can slow us down. Sometimes it's needed that He slow us down. What I want to ask you tonight is this. How are you dealing with this season in your life of slow sailing? The weird, the rough, the slow season that we're in. You know, this phrase, sailing slowly, does seem to be very out of place in the book of Acts. This is a book of action. It seems out of place in the life of Paul, and it seems out of place in the book of Acts. This book, and by the way, you should read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a fast-moving and a very quick transitioning and a very action-packed book in the Bible. I don't care to describe it in that way because it is. I believe the book of Acts is the most action-packed book in the Word of God. There is excitement about the cause of Christ that is found upon every page of the book. This book shows us the Acts of the Apostles, and more importantly, it shows us the Acts of the Holy Spirit that guides the church of God. It is a book of action. But even in this book of action, there is a time of slow sailing. Just for studying's sake, if you're taking notes, write this down. This book can be divided into two main sections. In chapters 1 through 12, you'll find that it is mainly focused around the ministry of a man named Peter. Then chapters 13 through chapter number 28, you'll find that it is focused mainly around the ministry of a man named Paul. So the first half focuses around Peter, and the second half focuses around Paul. Let me try and give you a quick glimpse into the fast-moving, fast-paced life of Paul in this book. I want you to understand how it was for Paul going through this season of his life. You say, Revis, my family lives a fast-paced life. We're here, there, and everywhere. I don't think that any of our lives really compare to the life of Paul. You say, how is that? If you go back to Acts chapter number 9, you'll find there Paul is a Pharisee, and he is going from town to town, persecuting, killing, imprisoning Christians. But then in chapter 9, Paul meets Christ on the road to Damascus. There he sees the great light, and he's blinded there, and he gets saved and said, Lord, what will thou have for me to do? And then after this, he goes straight to the house of Ananias, where he is given sight and where the Spirit of God fills him. And then still in chapter 9, he begins to preach immediately in Damascus, and then he goes to Jerusalem, and he begins to preach at Jerusalem. When you find him again in chapter 13, you find Paul and Barnabas are sent out from the church at Antioch, and they begin to preach in synagogue after synagogue. Then in chapters 14 and 15, you find Paul is preaching at Iconium, where he was stoned nearly to death. And then immediately they get up and they go back to Antioch and they testify there of what all the things they saw. In chapter 16, Paul preaches at Derbe. Then he goes to Lystra and preaches with Timothy. Then Paul is called to Macedonia. Then Paul and Silas are put in prison. Then the Philippian jailer is witnessed to and saved and baptized in his family. And the church of Philippi is begun. In chapter 17, he then goes and preaches at Thessalonica, where they turn the world upside down. And then after he runs out of that city, he then preaches at Berea. And then from Berea, he goes to Athens, and he preaches there on Mars Hill. Then in chapter 18, he then preaches in Antioch again. Then he goes to Phrygia. Then he goes to Galatia. Then chapter 19, he preaches at Ephesus. In chapter 20, he preaches in Macedonia. Then he goes to Troas. In chapter 21, Paul is preaching in Jerusalem. Then he is arrested at Jerusalem. In chapter 22, Paul begins to preach to the centurion. Then he preaches to the Jewish crowd. In chapter 23, Paul preaches to the Sanhedrin. In chapter 24, Paul then is taken to Felix, and he preaches to Felix, and Felix trembles. In chapter 25, Paul is taken to Festus, and he preaches to Festus. In chapter 26, Paul is taken to Agrippa, and he preaches to Agrippa. In chapter 27, then Paul is sent to Rome that he might testify of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the capital of the world. Friend, there is no preacher today that has a preaching schedule as full and busy as the schedule of Paul. He was a man that was on the move. He was here and there and everywhere. He was on the move for Christ. And now Paul was headed to Rome, just as Jesus had set his face as a flint toward Calvary. Paul had set his face as a flint toward Rome. He was willing and ready and determined and eager and excited to fulfill God's will in his life. Christ had already told him in Acts 23, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Paul had a promise of God. He had an encouragement of God, and he was ready to get there or be square. He was ready to be where God wanted him to be. But after this, we hear these words, "We sailed slowly many days." Not a few days, not a weekend, not a month. Many days. He said, "The wind suffered us not." Did the winds not care about Paul's mission? Did the winds not know of the commission that God had given him? Did they not see Paul's fervency and his fire to do what God called him to do? No. No, they didn't care. But I believe this. These winds not only were there as an obstacle, but I believe they were there sent by God. Friends, sometimes God gives you a commission. He gives you a destination. He gives us a job. But friend, even on the way there, His will is sometimes to slow us down. Friend, there are some great things we can take away from that. And friend, this applies to every last one of us. I think we've all been slowed down this year more than ever before. I want you to notice, number one, their speed. Their speed was slow. Progress was being made, but ever so slowly. I would imagine their progress was almost so slow that they probably weren't even able to see the results of their labor and their sailing. Perhaps the boat was so slow that Paul might have been tempted to question if that was really God's will for him to be on that boat. But yet it was. Maybe he was tempted to question if God was even really with them because of their speed. Friend, if nothing else, I want you to simply relate to how Paul lived. relate to this season of his life. How's your speed? If I'm guessing, it's probably slow. Probably compared to what's normal in your life, it's slow sailing in your life. Friend, you probably may not be able to see much fruit of your labor. May seem like you're spinning your wheels, especially spiritually, in your family, in your life, that you just can't seem to get where you was wanting to go. Friend, maybe God's slowing you down for a reason. Are you questioning God right now because of your speed? Or are you trying to find the reason why He slowed you down? I want you to find not only their speed, number two, I want you to see their season. The season was many days. They were not just slowed for one day, 2 days, 3 days, but for many days. It was not just a certain time. It was a season in their life. Friend, this has come to be a season in our life. You remember whenever this all started taking place in March? You remember when it was 2 weeks? Let's shut everything down for 2 weeks. We should be good. Then 2 weeks turned into a month. Then a month turned into 2 months. Then we tried to lighten everything back up, and then everything began to spread. We've had to shut everything back down slowly. It's been just a season of contrary winds. What started out seemingly a few weeks has now been a season. Friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in this season much longer. But so be it. If we must be in this season, friend, that does not mean that God can't work. That does not mean that the church cannot go on. And that does not mean that you cannot work for God during this time. But friend, if it's going to be a season of our life, then we need to make sure we're living for God through it, not waiting for the other side of it. Friend, don't get lax now. Don't backslide now. Friend, this may go on for a long time, and you might find yourself out of church, out of God's will, out of fellowship with God, out of relationship with God, because you were waiting for the season to pass. You know what? The harvest is now. Even now, during this season, notice number three, their struggle. Are you struggling? There's been a lot of struggle, not only with sickness this year, but with everything going on with jobs and families. And for the most part, our country is blessed beyond measure compared to most. We really cannot even compare to a third world country, but we'd be lying if we said there was not families affected and struggling because of this, even in our very communities. Friend, are you struggling? Are you struggling some contrary winds? They were struggling against the winds. Friend, whether you like it or not, struggling is a part of the Christian life. It is. You know what I love about it? We're not struggling to be free, but we're free to struggle. We're not fighting for the victory, we're fighting from the victory. And even though we may have struggles in this life, we are promised to make it through the other side. But that doesn't mean that we will not struggle. Friend, sometimes contrary winds do arise. Friend, may I remind you, though, who the maker and the sender of the wind is? It is God. Did you know that the same God that stills the storm, sometimes He sends the storm? The very one that spoke, "Peace, be still," out on the storm, is the very one that sent the storm Paul's way, in the way of his ship and his sailing. Friend, sometimes God sends the winds of revival, and sometimes He sends the winds of struggle, but nevertheless, they come from God. I want you to think about Jesus as He was sailing there with His disciples there in Luke in chapter number 8. You remember there, they were out on the ship, and Jesus was in the hinder parts of the ship, and He was sleeping, and there was a great storm of wind that came down upon them. It came out of nowhere. You don't see a storm of wind coming. It's something that comes out of nowhere, and the winds begin to toss them to and fro. What'd they say? "Master, Master, we perish." And we know the story. We love the story. He gets up and He speaks peace to that storm. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey?" But we forget this part. You know what He turned to them and said? "Where is your faith?" Many times I think we look at this passage wrong. We look at this passage and say, "Oh, if we just tell God, if we beg God enough, He'll still our storm. Master, Master, we perish." And God will still that storm. Friend, that wasn't the point of it. Yes, God has the power to still the storm, but you know what God had already told them? Before they got on that boat, he said, let us go over unto the other side. Now, do you think God was going to break his promise? Do you think that if God told them that they weren't going to make it? Oh, Jesus knew they would. Yes, he knew there was a storm, but faith is not always asking God to still the storm. Faith is going through the storm knowing that God's going to get you through the other side. Friend, sometimes God wants us to go through the storm. Sometimes we must go through the valley or there be no mountain. Friend, sometimes God moves the mountain, but sometimes he gives you the strength to climb it. Friend, that's the same way with the storm. Friend, we have a promise tonight. If you've been saved, we are promised we will make it through. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, but friend, it doesn't mean that contrary winds may not arise. They said, Master, Master, we perish. He said, where is your faith? Friend, their faith was not supposed to rest on him stilling the storm, but it was to rest on his word that they would make it through the other side. I want you to notice number four, their status. Their speed was slow. Their season was many days. Their struggle was contrary winds, but their status, he said, we were hardly passing it. Verse number 8, you know what that means? We were barely getting by. That was their status. You ever told somebody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm barely getting by. Many of us are dishonest about that when people ask. And we know that people really don't want to know how we are when they ask us how we are. They just say it because that's what typically they say. And most people really don't ask how you're doing. But friend, if we were all honest, sometimes we just say, well, I'm barely getting by. Hardly passing it. I think of Sister Marie Gwynn in my childhood, an elder lady who loved the Lord. She said, I'm getting better by the day. It'll be better tomorrow. Friend, hardly getting by. Maybe that's your status tonight. I don't know. I want you to notice number 5, their storm. After all this, there wasn't just slow sailing. It wasn't just a season of many days. There wasn't just struggles. There wasn't just a status of getting by. But there was a storm. Everything began to crest. Isn't that seems how it works in our life? It begins with contrary winds and slow sailing turns into rough sailing. And before we know it, there seems to be a storm. What do we say? When it rains, it pours. Here comes that storm. If you look there in verse 14, he said, not long after this, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. Here comes the storm out of nowhere. This was a storm that began to toss the ship. You can read there in the ongoing verses. It was a storm that tossed the ship. It was a storm so thick and so dark that it hid the sun and the moon for many days. It was a storm so great that it took away all hope. It said they lost all hope. And it was a storm that struck fear in them. It was a storm so great that they had to cast out their belongings and cast out every weight that they could make it through so that it wouldn't sink. You know why sometimes I think God sends us storms? So you'll throw overboard some of the stuff you've been holding on to way too long. So you'll throw aside some of the weights that so easily beset you so that you'll set aside what hinders you. Friend, sometimes that is what the storm is for. They're going through a great time of struggle, a trial, a storm in their life. But you know what I love about this? You say, this has not been encouraging at all. What I am encouraged by is our dear friend, Brother Paul, there in verse number 21. Paul knew what was going to happen. Paul was not discouraged. He was better than I would be. Paul remembered a promise that God gave him that he would make it to Rome. Paul knew, he warned him, he said, hey, this voyage is going to be bad. It's going to be of much hurt and damage. But Paul knew that he would make it unto the other side. I believe as they were scrambling and running to and fro and panicking for their life, I believe Paul was just bubbling up inside and he finally couldn't stand it any longer. And it says that Paul after long abstinence stood forth. In other words, I believed he grabbed a crate and made it into a pulpit and stood up and said, "Hey, may I have your attention? I have got something to say." In verse 21, it said, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. I was right, and had not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss.'" But notice these words, "And now." He said, in other words, yes, you should listen, but you know what? The past is the past. What you've done, you've done. But now, right now, in the middle of this storm, I want to exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He said, hey, you may have done wrong, but right now you need to know that you are to be of good cheer, because I have a promise from God. Friend, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what mistakes you've made this year. What sins that you've committed that you wish you could take back. What bad decisions that have happened in your life. But friend, I can tell you to be of good cheer tonight, because I serve a God of second chances and a God of mercy and grace. And yes, your sins may have consequences in your life, but God is willing and just and able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he will get you through the other side if you are willing to trust in him. Notice number one, Paul's plea. He makes a plea, be of good cheer. You know how Paul could say this so easily? You say, how could Paul so easily say, be of good cheer? There had already been a time in his life, way before the storm, back in Acts chapter number 23, there in Jerusalem. You know what? Paul heard a voice from heaven. And you know what that voice said? Be of good cheer, Paul. Paul was able to tell everybody else to be of good cheer, because there was already a time in his life when God himself had told him to be of good cheer, and he could say, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I am on the winning side. God saved me and called me and sealed me, and I can tell you to be of good cheer because God has told me. Friend, you know why I can stand today and tell you to be of good cheer and take faith in Jesus Christ? Is there was a day in my life as a 7-year-old boy that I put my faith in Christ, and on that day Christ told me to be of good cheer. You know what? He's told me every day since then. Every time I look into his word, he says, be of good cheer. Yes, it's bad. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, it's slow. Yes, there's a great season of struggle. But friend, be of good cheer. That is why Christians can have peace in impossible situations. That is why we can be of good cheer. I want you to notice Paul's plea. But I want you to notice number two, God's presence. God's presence was with them. Notice in 23, he said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He said, not only a long time ago did God tell me to be of good cheer, but God didn't leave me there. God's not going to meet me in Rome, but he is here right now with me. In fact, God sent an angel unto me this day. And this day, notice two things. Notice his nearness. He said he stood by me. Notice his timing. God has impeccable timing, don't it? He said, this night. Friend, I don't know about you, but I love the nearness of God and God's timing. He said, the presence of God is with us. There was an angel, a messenger of God, this night beside me. He was not afraid because he was not alone. Friend, you may be bedfast today. I don't know, watching from your bed. You may be homebound today. You may be sickly or elderly. You may not be able to get out, and especially not right now. But friend, I want you to know you don't have to be afraid, because you are not alone. If you've been saved by God's grace, we live in a day, this year we've heard the words again and again, quarantine, isolate. Friend, you cannot quarantine from God. You cannot isolate from God. He said, where you are, there will I be also. He saw God's presence. Number three, I see God's promise. There in verse 24, not only was there an angel by him that night, but the angel had something to say. He said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, oh, God's given me a promise. Oh, yes, we'll lose some possessions. We'll lose some merchandise. We'll lose some cargo. We'll lose some of that. But, friend, no life will be lost. I have a promise of God to fear not. He probably remembered Acts 23:11 when he said, thou must be brought to Caesar. We can rely on God's promises. But then, here's the key to it all. Number four, and we'll be done. I want you to notice Paul's persuasion. Paul was persuaded. What does that mean? He said, wherefore, sirs, verse 25, be of good cheer. He says it again. Why? For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Friend, that's the key to it all. He said, God has said it. God is here. God has promised. God's told me not to fear not. But you know what? This means so much to me because I believe God. You know what? All of these words will do nothing for you if you do not believe it. Everything God's wrote down in this book will not help you at all if you do not believe it. Friend, we live in a world that says believe in yourself. Friend, I have something greater to believe in than myself. I believe in a risen Savior, and I believe in the Word that He's given to me. And I believe that all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him are amen. Friend, Paul said, I believe God. Friend, it is in the storms of life, it is in the seasons of slow sailing that those words will hold the most meaning and the most weight. I believe God. Ain't it easy to believe God when it's smooth sailing? But friend, doesn't it mean something else when you believe God even in the storms of your life? Friend, I encourage you today to look to Paul's example. Sometimes it is not until we struggle in storms that we see how good God is. Sometimes it is not until our efforts yield nothing that we realize that it is God who gives the increase anyway. Sometimes it's not until we hit rock bottom spiritually that we realize we are standing on the rock of ages. Friend, sometimes it takes rock bottom to realize that we serve and we're standing on the solid rock. What's that song? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the flood from thy riven side flow. He talks about that. He said, vile eye to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. What is he saying in that song? I have refuge in the rock, even in the storms of life. In Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse 9, I think about Jeremiah. There when he hit rock bottom, he tried to seal up his tongue and his lips. He said, I will not make mention. But even then, God's word was as a burning fire in his bones. And he could not stay. He was like Paul. I think about this. I'll be done tonight. I think about a missionary by the name of William Carey. Today, he's known as one of the greatest missionaries in all of history. Perhaps close to Paul that we read about tonight. William Carey went to India. He later translated the Bible into so many Indian dialects. But you know, he spent 7 years in India before ever one soul was saved by God's grace. 7 years. Could you imagine this church going 7 years and not seeing one soul get saved? Oh, I pray that doesn't happen. But friend, what I'm trying to say is sometimes there is slow sailing. And we need some Christians that are willing to be of good cheer and believe God and live for Him even during those times. Friend, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't turn the boat around. The old ship of Zion's pressing on. Sailing onward to our home. Friend, will you be encouraged tonight? Will you see that your helper is Jesus Christ? I tell you what, I'd like to pray. If Brother Tweed has a song, I'll have him to sing that as an invitation if he would like. We'll pray, and then if he'd like to sing, we'll do that, and then we'll dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the exhortation of the word. Lord, would you help us even in these times of life, this slow sailing? Lord, help us to keep pressing on and believing you. God, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tweed's going to sing. I want to encourage you right now, this is your time to do business with God. You may not be saved, and if you're in this season of your life, I want you to know the only hope, the only joy, the only strength you can get is not from a drug, it's not from a bottle, it's not from hurting yourself, it's certainly not from hurting others. Friend, if you're going to make it through, it's going to be through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. And friend, I encourage you to give your heart and your life to Him and let Him give you a new life. Friend, life is hard for all of us, but it is so much better going through it with Jesus Christ. Friend, my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day as a sinner without God. I encourage you tonight. Be encouraged in the Lord. Would you come to Him as Brother Tweed sings tonight?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. I'd like to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We appreciate having you. Please just stay updated on the Facebook page. We'll make an announcement. We're going to give it probably till Tuesday at least to make sure there is nothing else that comes up or nobody else, Lord willing, that will have it. And then we'll make a post concerning this Wednesday night and on so on and so forth. And we do pray we can come back just as soon as we can.